This is a production of Cornell University.
GPSA meeting, February 26, 2007.
Excuse? She's in Illinois. Michelle? Yeah, not here. Anna? Okay, Janet? Major? No. Major's not here yet. Rebecca?
Here.
Ellen?
Ellen is
excuse. I'm here. She's off. Arnab?
Yeah.
You're here. Kyle?
Yeah.
You're here, yep, I saw you. You use in the car. David. There you are. And Kenny's here. And I get that. Charles is not here. Celia is here. Kevin,
yep.
Saw you. Glenn's no longer a member. Zuming, she's here. I think that's it. Oh, and Tamara is back there.
How many is that?
I think that's good.
Well, we have four. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Great. Hi, everyone. Welcome.
We have four.
Can I turn your attention to these lovely GPSA meeting minutes from our last assembly meeting and invite comments, changes? This is all due thanks to our new clerk, Natalie, sitting over here. Any thoughts, comments, changes, or motion to approve? Welcome at this time. Yes, Diane.
I think you've already corrected under 1B.
Mm-hmm. I did welcome you if you were here.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So this is from the rest of the clerk to clarify some of the title numbers. This is the rest of the clerk. This is the last one.
Okay. And interim director of graduate student life. Okay. Any other changes?
You can't do it.
Can we go back to the anything else? So I have a motion to approve the minutes.
Okay. I'll be there.
Rebecca, thank you. Second. Anna. Any dissent? Alright, approved. Okay, great. Let's then move on to committee reports. To begin with, some updates from the executive committee. Some exciting stuff is going on. Talking up the graduate community initiative with a number of people on campus. A number of leaders on campus are really interested in having a look at it. We have a breakfast, the Assembly's leadership breakfast, coming up with President Gordon on Wednesday, when we'll show him a first draft and talk a little bit about that with the other heads of the Assembly. So there's some real motion and some real interest on this, so I just want to let you guys know this is really going somewhere. And that'll no doubt feed into our discussions later on in this meeting. Secondly, I've been approached by Campus Life as they are conducting a survey about graduate student housing. And this isn't the thing that's like, where do you live? It's more a survey that's like, what should we buy and what should we build? So they had hoped to maybe have a draft of that survey to me today to give to you guys to get comments. But it looks like the timeline's going to get pushed back a little bit, and it'll probably go out sometime around or just after spring break. And this means that I'll probably get a draft from them and then circulate. If we can talk about it at a GPSA meeting, we will. If we have to get comments by email, that would be great too. And I'd really like to encourage you guys to submit your comments, because that is going somewhere, and where it's going is from Campus Life to all graduate students to get a sense of what it is that we're looking for and what we might need. So that's also tremendously exciting that finally there's some motion on the housing front. And I also just came from a great meeting with the Council on Mental Health and Welfare. Is it some kind of title like that? I forget exactly. which was a really excellent chat with leaders from around the university, as well as people from Gannett, from TAP, and individuals who are responsible for sort of mental health needs and issues in each of the professional schools and representatives in the graduate school as well, which was totally amazing to hear what was working in each of those places, what wasn't working in each of those places, and to see the kinds of workarounds they were coming up with for the fact that things are really fragmented and the fact that your issues in the Johnson School are going to be different than the law school and just different anthropology. So I'm going to be going back to that little chunk and the Graduate Community Initiative to sort of provide that with some actual stats and some actual ideas that have come out of that. And, of course, I welcome your comments there. Anything else
you need
to say? What else can
you
talk about? Hi.
Well, on the communications end, Charles approached me about a week ago and asked if there was any way he could get, you know, business students on GPSA Info. So I was like, sure, you know, here's what you do. And what he did for me was just sent out an email to all the business students in the Johnson School saying how to join GPSA Info. So what I'd like from all of you guys, and within like one day you get 25 people and then a couple more people trickled in. So GPSA info list is expanding. What I would like from you people, and I'll try and send you guys an email sometime this week, is to do the same thing for your departments, for your programs, for any email list that you are on. Please, you know, forward this email that I sent you to those lists, and I think people will join once we advertise it a little bit more. So.
Really organizing the executive plan. Can I invite comments from other committees?
One quick note, I talked with Mary Schraven from the National Student Scholars Office. Remember we attended the interview of the Lady Kevin Housing or office company. They're hiring a manager. Yeah, and finally, yeah, I think they make it higher and it's a lady super position. So I think that's kind of that's good. Probably we will have somebody to talk with when we have like landlord and town conflicts or roommate issues. So
that's actually fabulous news because that was a resolution you brought before the GPSA last year to have an off-campus housing coordinator. So. We can do things, and congratulations to the building because now there's actually someone in that position, which is fantastic. I should probably also update a little bit on the grad ball. Even though Ellen is not here yet, she might be here later. It's been moved to April 27th in the Johnson Business School atrium. Again, scheduling issues with Willow Stray Hall and scheduling issues with the ball committee itself meant that this is pretty much the date that we're going to have to go with. But they have some really exciting stuff underfoot, and it looks like it's going to be a really fabulous event. So revise your date and mark that on your calendar. And, of course, there will be a push as we get closer to that to get volunteers and help and advice and all that kind of thing. So keep that sort of creativity engine going.
Find a suit or dress, too.
Find a dress.
Or suit. Nice tie.
Just no jeans. How are we doing with dress code? Anything else from anybody? I should also welcome and have a new representative from the undergraduate student assembly. Chris?
I guess what I wanted to say, I guess you can get a copy of this. The SA passed the resolution on Thursday. They recommend the administration that somewhere along the line, administration should fund free HIV testing for Gannett because right now, Gannett no longer funds free HIV testing that costs $25, and in order to cover the entire company, it costs about $18,000 a year. So Gannett passed a resolution on Thursday, basically encouraging the administration to fund the $18,000 gap with their funding for HIV testing. And I just were hoping that you could say this is a policy and a resolution to work.
I know this is something Tamara was particularly interested in bringing up across the next meeting.
At the next assembly meeting on the 26th of March, I invited Calvin himself to come with me and we'll have a formal resolution. That's the essay version.
Okay.
We'll have a formal graduate version that's a little bit more comprehensive for you.
Great. Excellent. Thank you very much. Always good to hear what's going on with the undergraduates. Anything else?
Well, I'll move on to open forum. So now, if there really is anything else from anybody, you're welcome to take it at this time. Is anything else going on?
I guess I have an
answer.
I guess. Go ahead. So a couple of old games ago, Mike asked me if the vessel was doing another date auction, and we are. It's going to be April 20th this year at 7:30.
April 20th?
Mm-hmm.
Date of that student?
Date of that
student.
It's a fundraising and philanthropy event, so half the money goes to the vet fraternity that puts the event on. And then the other half that goes to the Stellar Charity. Last year it was St. Jude's Children's Hospital, and this year we're going to do
great. GPSA info. We'll get you some single dads. Or not. Diane, I know you have something you wanted to submit from this. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Diane Thompson from
Brennan
School, and we provide a written feedback form. We want feedback from graduate professional students centered around activities and workshops that they would like to see for your developmental needs, career-wise, academic-wise, and socially within the Cornell community. It actually was sent out the week of the session. We got a pretty late turnout, and now we've converted it to an electronic format. So we will send it through GPSA again.
Yeah, we can send that out for you.
Okay.
The GPSA,
and
that's
and also go through your GFAs as well. So if representatives can please talk about it within your respective fields and encourage students to provide feedback, because we will use that information to actually develop seminars centered around the feedback we receive from students. So that will promote your career development, academic needs that you have. I know a lot of students come to the graduate school because they want to, you know, look at non-academic career options. But unless I hear that from
students,
so I want to know if you need
that. Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Linda. Anything else for open forum? No? Nothing? No one has anything else to say. How are you guys doing? Mm-hmm. Excellent. How's the pizza? Great. Thanks. We have such a talkative bunch this year, you guys.
Barbecue chicken instead of buffalo.
Okay, Amy's not here right now, but I'll make a note of that. And triangle pizza.
Major's not here to complain about triangle.
Yeah, right. Okay. All right, so let's move on to some of the old business we have hanging around. We have Finance Commission regulation changes that need to be approved, but UU is on her way, still driving into New York City, so I would recommend that we table this until she gets here or about 6:30, if not before that. So
oh,
the end of the meeting.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Do I have to move to table?
Not necessarily.
All right. As the chair, I would like to table that resolution until she gets here. Michael, resolution on committee staff.
Okay. I am going. There's still some work that needs to be done on this one. I still need to hear back from a couple of these committees that may be defunct, so I can finalize this. And I'm also trying to finish up the process with RNUPS on how, because I know I get a lot of feedback from you guys on how what you want to hear for a process of actually staffing committees. So we're still trying to work that out, and in that case, I'm going to table that resolution until our next meeting in March.
All right. Table. That was easy. The resolution on Sports Day actually relies on that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess I will have to move to table that as well. Great. Yeah, it's fascinating. Well, we have some important other work to do too. So. Mike, do you want to talk about the resolution capacity?
This one, however, I am prepared to go for today. It's relatively straightforward. As I said before, basically, the archivist position is in all effect defunct. We don't have an archivist this year, and the Office of Assemblies has been doing a really good job with creating the new Assemblies website. That has been pretty much been our database, our archive of actions that the GPSA has done, our minutes, our reports, etc. So what I thought would be a good idea to replace that position with is a counsel to the Assembly. And I got this idea out of the Ivy Summit. Harvard has a similar position, and some of the other schools have similar positions. Basically, it's a emeritus position, where a former president or vice president would kind of just say a member, or just a working member of the assembly, and on the call of the executive board, give advice and try and keep the idea of continue certain precedents and policies throughout administration. Basically, the way I think of this position is, you know, Cornell has a university council, and that's like a law person who tells the university what they can and can't do. This is very similar, it's a position for someone to say to the executive board, you know, this is what's been done in the past. This is, you know, the goals we've been trying to get done. This person would also have a very good idea of what the charter says, because they've been working with it for at least a year directly, and so they'll be able to give advice to that effect. The only major change, or change at all, from last month's presentation of this resolution is I took Rebecca's advice and pretty much said that this person, I'm trying to find it here, must be a matriculated graduate and professional student at Cornell. So I'm all set. If you want to move into debate.
Any comments, questions, criticisms from the floor?
So you just mentioned the last thing I didn't have here is, so must be a graduate or a professional?
Must be a matriculated graduate or professional student at Cornell.
So is it somebody like off campus? Is not qualified for this?
Yeah.
So I was wondering, because I know Brian, who are them?
Brian would not be qualified for this. And that's probably a good thing.
Interesting.
Although Brian's great, though.
Okay. Other questions, other debates, points of clarification?
Just another note, this is, you know, an experiment to try for a year or two. I mean, it was an idea to replace the archivist with something new and different.
I have a point. The Council of the Assembly shall not be charged with performing any task other than advising the Assembly and the Executive unless the Council feels that it is his or her role to take on that task. As an executive of this assembly, I would really rather that a former president did not decide when they felt like it was their job to take on a task and would rather be responsible for delegating that to them. I would request that we change that language so it says instead unless that task is required at the request of the assembly.
Okay, I find that friendly, and I put that in there, and probably the wording wasn't best, mm-hmm. to pretty much say that the executive can't put all the work on the council.
Yes, the executive cannot put all the work on the council. I hadn't. That would be great. Sure, use one of those.
Also, you said this was a trial condition. Is there anything here that suggests that it is a trial condition, or that I get the impression here that it is now going to be an established position, that is what it's going to be. But there's nothing here that says this will be revisited or, you know, voted for passing or whatever at the end of whatever the year.
Okay. We could always take it out of the charter, too. That was, I guess, my thought.
Could you? There's an automatic trial. You know, let's say that it's in there, but like the previous one, it just gets forgotten about it. It just sort of sits there. It's in that role that had for a previous president. Or
okay. Do you want to? What was? Yeah, okay. Yes. I got to figure out what your wording was before we move on.
I'll come back to that. I'd like to get to this point first.
I actually think that sort of the comment I was going to make piggybacks a little bit on that, because the first sentence, if someone at Hyper says GPA, they shall, and it says may, that's like grammatical problem, but it's also substantive. It's shall or may, and if it's may, that would give the council the opportunity to not elect it if they wanted, which might end up just concerned about if it's a child or not. But if you want to be shall, then we're back to it.
Well, the last.
Sorry, you see what I'm saying?
Okay,
I was just pointing out the last line, point that points out the position name.
So is there an amendment to say strike the shall or strike the may?
Then I make a motion to change the first shall to may.
Okay.
Find
that fine.
And remove the second may. Can I just make that as a grammatical amendment? Or the grammar not being used, I can't read it. All right, my friendly amendment was...
So that clarifies
unless,
your... Okay.
Unless upon the... Strike this section unless the council feels it is his or her role to take on that task. And put in... unless at the request of the executive. In my personal experience, it's past CPA presidents.
Well, that's fine.
I still don't know whether changing it to a may institutes the kind of sunset clause that you were talking about, but to revisit it, because it still doesn't make it a trial period. It just makes it at the discretion of the executive or whoever I have. But it just doesn't make it a trial period. It just makes it discretionary upon the board in a given year.
Maybe trial is the wrong word for me to use.
Do you want this actually in the charter, or would you like this in the bylaws? Because there's a
the charter is the bylaws.
But isn't there a thing that's like there's a bylaw thing per year? Like with
that's
Sean's
standing rule
at the beginning of the standing rule.
And each assembly has to create their own.
So do you want to create this as a standing rule for next year, or do you want
I can't. We can't create a standing rule for next year.
Okay.
The assembly that does the assembly has to, of each year has to create their own standing rule. So.
Okay.
Okay.
A clarifying question, and again, getting to the same issue. The GPSA may request, so that makes it permissive, yes? So, like, if the executive council requests it and the rest of the assembly decided they don't want that, they can vote it down, or if it's
just. Yeah. So the assembly has full control over it, regardless of the year.
Well, so then isn't it more like the GC assembly itself elects the council, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. On the request of the exec.
So the exec pretty much put forward the motion.
Okay, the GCSA says yes or no, and then people come up and say, I'd like to be council.
Mm-hmm.
What situation is this just like? The assembly wants somebody different than what they want to do. So, that seems kind of like it, but the same.
What
would
you
from your perspective, the institutional perspective might not like that.
That's true, but then if it's because this is something that the executive can then go to, then as the executive, I might not go to them. I'm not sure how we resolve that. But it should be someone who the assembly approves.
So my thought, I don't know if this is clear enough, was that the executive board asked a certain person to serve in this position. They nominate that person, and then the assembly votes on that.
So the assembly cannot nominate their own person?
Yes.
The assembly member of the party?
Yes. Yes, that's fine. What part? May, instead of the executive committee.
What do you use? The main election will be appointment and the assembly will be ratified.
Sorry, I can't hear you. Can you speak up a bit?
Basically, it's not going to be an election. It's going to be an appointment that will be ratified by the assembly.
Okay.
So we should say that.
All right.
May ratify a council to the assembly appointed by the executive. Would that help that
sense? So GPSA may ratify. The executive committee may select a council that's ratified by the assembly. Now I'm confused.
The GPSA may, on the request of the executive committee, ratify a council to the assembly appointed by the executive committee.
Okay. But doesn't that kind of mean that they don't have to ratify them if they don't want to, because it's set where the May is?
Yes.
You're the lawyer, so.
Do you know?
Okay. Do you find that friendly?
I find that friendly. Can you just repeat it for me?
Sure. The GBSA may, on request of the newly elected executive committee, ratify a council city assembly appointed by the executive committee.
Are there any other points on this document? Yes, Kim.
I don't understand who does documentation among you, but is there a centralized server state that is holding all of the minutes right now?
Yes.
Okay, so there is already a methodology. I don't know if it's codified at all, because right now it looks like the archivist was responsible for those files and making sure those files didn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an old era, maybe.
Yeah, this
like
is
webmaster changed. Handles that now. I don't know who this is.
Okay. The Office of Assemblies now pretty much takes care of all of that.
Okay. So there's a gap between the sort of local knowledge of what are the sort of ongoing issues for the GPSA and the sort of technical collection of documents that would be sort of more of an archive. So a lot of the archival stuff has been taken up and automated by the Office of Assemblies to be our website. And the other side of it is we now have full support staff in the Office of Assemblies who do have a lot more of the long-term knowledge, but we don't have sort of an executive perspective. We don't have ongoing council members' perspective. So those of us who were there last year and were part of the craziness of setting the activity fee, that knowledge won't necessarily be there in 2 years' time, particularly because the Office of Assemblies had a bit of a breakdown last year, and so a lot of stuff was lost. So it's mostly trying to say what's the sort of local knowledge, what's the sort of council level knowledge that needs to continue that's not just the technical document. Does that fairly answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? Any comments or would anyone like to move to call the question?
One last clarification.
Mm-hmm.
And since you're a previous president or vice president, does that mean for the previous
year or
any previous
session? Any. Further questions, comments? Issues for debate? Calling the question. Seeing no more debate. Somebody who's a voting member. Great, Kevin.
But there's no more debate anyway, so.
All right, excellent. So can we move to vote on this resolution? Anyone like to make a motion to?
There's no more debate.
Fine, we're just going to vote on this resolution. By a show of placards, everybody who is an elected assembly member, all those in favor, please raise your sign. Those opposed? Abstentions? Okay.
No one.
Pass.
Back in.
Great. Good job, guys. Seeing that UU is not yet here, let's move on to new business, and I would like to invite Emily Rocha. Hi, Emily.
Hi.
And Michael Walsh to please present resolution number 11 on in support of climate neutrality.
Go ahead.
Thank you very much for your time and attention. I'll be brief. Before I actually go into the details of the resolution, I just want to give you guys a bit of background on what's been going on here at Cornell and Cornell about 2001. Many of you might be aware, in 2001, the Bush administration formally pulled the United States out of Kyoto Protocol. In response to that, several students here at Cornell University decided to ask the administration to sign off the Kyoto Protocol and keep community emission reduction targets set forth in that agreement. It resulted in a storming of Day Hall where several students camped out for quite some time, and subsequently the administration agreed to sign on to the Kyoto Protocol, making Cornell the first university in the United States to do so. And that movement, that effort sparked movement across college campuses all over the United States to do similar efforts, and there are about at least 300 Kyoto now chapters get to that primarily due to a combined heat and power plant that will be coming online that will be using one fuel source to provide electricity and heat to campus. As a result of that effort, the student group Kyoto Now decided to call on the administration to take the next step beyond Kyoto, and it launched the Beyond Kyoto campaign, calling on the administration to take one out of carbon neutrality. And as of last Friday, we have done that. We have joined over 80 other universities and colleges across the United States to become a part of the Kyoto campus. We have about 1 year to put together greenhouse gas emissions inventory and 2 years to do a planning process that will bring us to net zero emissions on campus. And it's a very exciting thing to be a part of. We're very proud of it. And that's where this resolution comes from today. I had the idea, and Michael supported it wholeheartedly, that we make a formal statement of support for the administration's effort to date and acknowledge all the work that's been going on by student staff and faculty all over campus over the various years to reduce emissions, to research the issue more broadly and to move forward on that. And then this resolution also commits the GPSA to investigate avenues that this body and graduate students can pursue more formally to be more actively engaged in the efforts underway on campus, and commits us to take action by spring 2013, which is a one-year timeline to come up with something and put something into play, and to allay any concerns about who exactly can take charge of that effort. I've started speaking with some graduate students, and I'm more than happy to, since I've issued the call, to lead this party on this issue. We'll have a meeting coming up on Wednesday, 6 p.m., sent out announcements to graduate students to join me and begin the discussion and see what the sense of everyone is and move forward in a more formal project. And so, and then also, I just one last thing before I take any questions. As far as the letter, the editor that was published in the paper last Thursday, I certainly can see that probably wasn't the best opening salvo for this campaign, but my goal in writing it was merely just to draw attention to the issue and focus on that, and I'm very passionate about this issue. If you know me, you know that. And I just think that there's so many exciting things going on. I would love to see us jump in and contribute to the effort. So that means that I can answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Do you have anything you wanted to add?
Not really. I think Emily covered most of it. You know, I just want to stress that, you know, I feel personally like I not only myself, but a lot of other graduate students I know do a lot. You know, we've committed like the next 5 years of our lives to research climate change or the things that impact climate change. And, you know, some of us do a couple of outreach efforts here and there. Last year, I knew a bunch of people who did a carbon mitigation workshop and measured carbon emissions for Tompkins County and tried to find ways to alleviate them. But as for a cohesive Cornell effort to reduce Cornell emissions, I think that's a little bit lacking across campus, and I think this is something we want to be on the boat for. And Doug was gracious enough to set me up with Emily, and we had a little powwow and discussed the way things, how we get this ball rolling, and I think this is a good start.
So, first there will be questions, then debate on the resolution, and a vote, because this is not a charter change, so we can do this all at one sitting. Can I open to questions to either Mike or Emily? Or comments or anything?
I don't have a question, that's more of a comment. If you are looking at a strategy plan of how to approach it and how to get Cornell more into it, you might want to go to a graduate school where they have Professor Mark Mosley and Professor Stuart Hart, and they're in charge of sustainable global enterprise, and you can get a lot of assistance to help you with this plan. I'm currently on a project right now also. In regards to a course of action, you can also look at GE's plan of eco imagination. They're working on it. I think it's all over the internet, so you can put that up. And that might give you some ideas on where you can start on sustainability and point out.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of sort of independent student initiatives from like Engineers for Sustainable World to the fact that most graduate students are actually quite conscientious about the environment, so it would be nice to see some kind of coherence emerge out of that. I know this is an issue that we all feel very passionately about, and one of the things I really like about this is this idea of what else could we do. And one of the things we're always pushing on the transportation
button is for flexibility and provision of other kinds of options for economic incentives for carpooling, possibilities for biking and / bus passing, and other kinds of options for grad students to be the most likely community users to take some of those options up. And this could actually provide us a really great platform to say one of the great ways for graduate students to get involved is if you help us be flexible about our transportation options. So that's what I like, one of the things I like about this. Are there any other comments or discussion points?
What's the difference between discussion points and debate?
Debate is when we say things like, this is what I want to change. Questions and discussion is like, I have a question, why did you do this better that way?
Well, to respond, I mean, I hate to do this. Climate change is something that we're all supposed to be really wholeheartedly behind in all of its cases. But actually, I wonder how this could affect things like transportation. Because right now, one of the things that I think that graduate students want are more bus services later at night. And I can see the administration just as easily playing, like, okay, these buses are big and they don't have anybody on them. And I think there are economic and planning issues that go into that that could end up hurting the graduate student community on the transportation front. But moreover, I don't really understand why the GPSA has anything to do with climate change. There are so many organizations on campus right now that are addressing this, and I fully agree with us supporting it, but I don't know why that the GPSA as a body would be one to investigate the avenues. Like, I don't know why we're taking additional... There are other organizations that do this. There are other organizations that are investigating this stuff, and I don't really feel like it's necessarily a graduate student issue. I feel like it's a campus issue. And I would be really happy to see... I mean, I fully support the first resolution, but the second one, I don't know why the graduate student body has to be there.
My response to that would be because this is the body that represents the graduate student community as a whole, and sets the standards, I think, more or less, for what's going on. Certainly, there are many efforts going on around campus that deal with climate change and reducing emissions in their own particular ways. But I think that it is a gesture of goodwill, first of all, and a gesture of responsibility. Second of all, the GPSA to take a formal action on this issue to next graduate students to show that we are concerned about the issue, paying attention and acting. As an example, lots of government, student government bodies across the United States took a similar action. Most recently, Student Assembly here at Cornell passed a resolution, that's a direct recommendation ballot, asking undergraduates to pay or in support of $5 per semester student activity fee to go towards the purchase and development of renewable energy on campus. It's similar to something that Harvard did last year, where over 80% of the student body voted in support of it. Student Assembly didn't have to do it, but they approached CR now. They said, we want to do something on this issue. We could have on it, and so we worked with them to come up with this referendum, and I just feel that it was an act of goodwill for the assembly to do it, show the administration that they were supportive of climate neutrality and felt that this is something Cornell should act on, not that Cornell has acted on, and it's something that the GPSA should take a formal position in support of.
But that's what the first resolution is for. It's taking a formal support role, saying we're supportive. But I don't think that the whole graduate student body should be investigating the options. Using your words, the GPSA represents graduate students, and therefore we should investigate.
Hold on, this is moving into the debate section, though. So at that point, we should actually put this into debate, and then we should talk about it with respect to changing the wording of the document. Are there other issues with this as a standard question?
Yeah.
The GPSA is free to assist me in any way they can. I realize that this is coming up towards the middle to the end of the semester and then towards the end of the session from the GPSA, so I'm willing to take this on as much as I can, completely, and not ask if I can work on resources from the GPSA. But at the very end of the day, what my goal is, and it's obviously will change drivers to involvement. Want different things, but at minimum, I will use the white paper as the end of the summer to examine and then choose to take action on any or none or whatever of the steps. But that first part of the requirement will be fulfilled because I will ensure that it is fulfilled.
questions? Okay, no further questions. We should move on to the debate session, which is the opportunity to present, ask questions specifically about the wording and present changes to wording.
And make comments for or against yourself.
Sure. And make comments for or against. Doug.
I just wanted to say, I really do support this very wholeheartedly. I think this is a really important resolution, and that, you know, I understand the concern that maybe this is the purpose of the CSA is to be talking about, but I think that it really is. I mean, we are, you all are the body of the unrepresented guys' penalties, and I feel like it's an important step forward for this, is to be able to say that, you know, we're able to do something about it. And I would say that now that we're saying that, you know, President Bush,
things in mind in our proposals, for example.
Just a very quick comment on that also in this discussion. You probably weren't around last year, probably 2 years ago, when Engineers for Sustainable World came to the GPSA and said, we need money to take all of our people to go to the state conference, and nobody on campus is able to give us that money, and can the GPSA give us that money? There could be, and we were bound by our charter to not be able to give them money, because that's not how the application for funding can work. It's not the kind of activities that GPSA could support. Brought up all kinds of issues there. But again, if there's a specific call in the GPSA saying we must support environmental activities, then should we might be in a complicated bind about that. So it's just another thing to consider. And I have to say. Would you like to propose a revision on the spot?
No, because I don't, I'm not sure I entirely understand the role. But I think that, you know, if taking into account what, you know, what people are saying here to do by the part of the revolution, I think there's actually a proposal to see, you know, I think there's the actual revision. But the information would be supported for the resolution, but if people have concerns about the question.
If some people have concerns, this is the time to propose a revision, if that's possible. If anybody would like to propose a change in wording, yeah.
I don't know if it's a change in wording. Is it possible to do this in 2 days to vote on all of it without that, and then do like a second vote on whether or not we want the secretary to include it in it?
You would have to propose to strike that section. It would have to be voted on by the council or by the assembly, and then they would have to come back with a different resolution next time, I think.
I continue with what I was saying before, and that I don't think, because it's a political statement, that the GPSA should be investigating climate change, and that the GPSA should be, so that's the first part, and then the taking tangible action, which we haven't addressed, is kind of the opposite of what has been said, in that taking tangible action means that, yeah, even if a white paper is written, and some tangible action means that something has to be done, something has to be changed about the way things are written. And so I kind of agree that the section should be taken out, and so we can come to some better.
So my intention in writing this resolution was to provide us with a formalized process to say something and do something good about it. Anybody can say something good about anything. We can condemn genocide and say something. We can say child labor is horrible and sweatshops are bad, but then not change our behavior. So passing a resolution that just says, good job, in my, as far as I'm concerned, is hollow. Which is why I have followed up with now let's do something about it. Let's put our money where our mouth is. And this isn't a no you can't resolution, this is a yes you can resolution. My goal with this resolution, and I think the language in the second further resolve states this quite plainly, is not to say we're not going to fund you guys if you want to take a bus and buses with greenhouse gas emissions. I mean, that's just asinine. I'm not trying to push an environmental rhetoric or an environmental ethic on people without considering reality, and neither is Cornell. This isn't a political statement. Cornell University has committed this university to be carbon neutral. That's the fact of this, of what's going on here. It's part of our mission. We said we are, Cornell says it's a sustainable, it's moving towards sustainability. It wants to be a sustainable institution. And we are just falling under the central mission of this university and passing a resolution like this. I'm not saying anything about Democrats, Republicans, socio-political considerations or concerns. We are working to be more responsible members of this community. And all I'm trying to do here with this investigating additional avenues is coming up with positive ways that we can support Cornell. Screening the Big Red Barn, seeing how we can maybe teach people in research institutes, Michael brought this up, you know, in labs, turn off the hood lights, you know, and the fans that we need. Let's conserve more energy. What can we do for graduates who live on campus? Can we give them a compact fluorescent light bulb? Those kinds of things. Very positive initiatives, nothing restrictive, nothing that's going to make anybody's life miserable or more difficult. Just make our environmental footprint smaller here at Cornell. And that's all I'm seeking to do this resolution. And if those people who are concerned about it feel that the language leaves the door wider open, then I have just expressed, and I would definitely suggest that you make amendments to the language and help me, because the way I read it the way I've been told that I read it. So if I'm missing something, please suggest. But I wouldn't think that it would be very good to strike it, because then essentially I would say we should have half of the food because it would be more likely to be a hollow gesture.
All right. Response to that question changes. Motion to call the question. Kyle wants to move to call the question. So, second. Anna. All right. Any dissent? All right, so let's move to vote on Resolution 11 as it currently stands. On Resolution 11, in support of climate neutrality, can I see a show of pockets, please? All those in favor? Those opposed? Abstain. Okay. The motion passes at 9-0-1. Congratulations. Thank you. Good debate, guys. I move to Resolution 12, and I would like to invite Doug Mitterrotondo, who is our student elected trustee, and Mike Walsh to present this to the assembly. Hi, Doug.
Howdy.
Howdy. You've been hanging out with Mark too long.
Howdy for years.
Are you in the original?
So the reason for this resolution is actually a lot because it was working well. It hasn't been anywhere in the GTSA charter bylaws talking about how the student trustees are supposed to interact with the GTSA in general. And, you know, it seems amazing. I'm officially an ex officio member of the GTSA by the first sentence in the paragraph here. But Mike and I thought it was probably, you know, good to highlight the relationship that the GTSA and the student trustees can work in a symbiotic relationship to be able to, you know, do good things for the graduate and special student body. It doesn't really change anything. It just really more highlights that, and kind of says in words that it's kind of the responsibility of the GTSA and the student trustees to work together, and there should be good communication paths, which thankfully for Mike and Janet, you know, it's always been that way. In terms of working, you know, hearing them, you guys are working on, to be able to take that information to board trustees. So it's not really a change of procedure as much as it's just putting in writing somewhere that, you know, this should happen, and this is a good thing for it to happen.
Mike, do you want to add to that?
No, not really. I think that covers it all. It's pretty simple, pretty straightforward.
Have questions, debate, and then...
I should change the wording just a little bit, actually, because we wrote the graduate special student trustee, but really should probably take those words out.
That's what I was going to, yeah.
Student elected trustees and make it plural throughout, so the student elected trustees are welcome to attend meetings. Just because, you know, with the changes of the way the student trustees are being elected, they're both still elected by the whole student body, and they are going to represent the whole student body well, so one will be privileged to meet. But I think it's important that, you know,
yeah.
I was just looking at our problem. I think that's really important that we need to change that. So.
Okay. Don't
mind. So there's an amendment before we're even supposed to look at it. Okay.
On the amendment,
he can change his own resolution. Questions for Doug and Mike? Comments? Cheers?
Boo.
Yeah, great. I love interactive assembly.
Moving on to debate.
Any questions at all? Should we move on to debate? If anybody has anything they would like to see changed or challenged, you can challenge stuff, you know, guys.
Pretty straightforward.
You just demonstrate that. Okay. You want to be. We're calling the question. All of these things are welcome.
Call the question.
All right, Cecilia, I have a second. Tamara. Any dissent? All right. On Resolution 12, may I see a show of pockets, please? Voting members, all those in favor? Great. Those opposed? Abstentions?
Okay. Sweet.
Well done. Shannon, what did you get for yes? Hmm? How many yes?
10.
Great.
I like your placard.
Excellent. Well done. I still do not see you. And I wonder if we want to...
Okay, I think we're going to have to table this, but I'm going to, if you don't mind, I'm going to explain a couple things to try to explain to me on the phone.
Are you taking out the speaking time first?
Huh? It's not, we're not going to vote on it.
Okay. So do you want to make a comment about it?
Yes. I think one of the one things that she brought up is she just wanted to get more feedback from people regarding summer funding and problems associated with that. And the other thing she wanted to get feedback on people from was the whole event calendar thing we discussed earlier. Mm-hmm. And apparently she's been met with some resistance from some funded groups saying that they don't really want to post their event on the event calendar. I guess some of the complaints have been it's going to take too long, no one reads the event calendar, it's going to flood the event calendar with a lot of needless stuff. We don't want everybody coming to our event.
Even though that's in the contract of your funding?
That's contract of your funding.
Ah, I see. That's what I have
to And, you know, a lot of those issues are moot. Because I think the university is heading towards a unified calendar system within the next year and a half. I don't know the firm deadlines on that, but basically they're going to require every event to be on a registered calendar or a central database. And there'll be different ways to publicize the calendar. Like we could, on our own website, pull an RSS feed that said, okay, we want to see all the events this week that are being put on with money from the DPSA Finance Commission. I think that's the ultimate goal for us. So I don't know what you've heard or if you've talked to anyone about this problem. It does seem to be meeting with some resistance, though, because people feel like it's too much work and it's a little... and people don't want other people coming to their events. I kind of find some of those complaints a little ridiculous myself, but I was wondering if anyone had any comments on that.
I have about exactly that rule, the event calendar. First, one thing I find is a little bit not realistic is the thing that it says that the event should be posted on the event calendar 1 month before the event. Now, I'm part of a variety of student groups that get GPSAC funding, and I would have a hard time remembering an event where actually 1 month ahead of time we actually knew we were going to hold the event.
Okay.
Things are much more, that's a much more short thing. The other thing that people say is too much work. If it's set up in a really easy way, I don't think it's too much work, but considering that many clubs, it's hard to get people to do things. And it's nice when people actually do things. You're not organizing things for the club. So if you say, well, you only get money if you get that, you know, that puts additional hurdles to people actually keep themselves in the butt and organize things. Mm-hmm. For the club.
I think with the new system, though, it's going to be really easy.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
I was just about to ask exactly what would be involved and exactly how much work would be.
There's a website and there's a form, and you select from a drop down list that you're funded by GPSAFC, and you put in your date, your time, the contact person, and you click submit. It's a centralized thing through events.cornell.edu. That could be too much. Seems kind of easy for me, but I also run a volunteer organization, and I'm aware that it's often difficult to get people to do things, so, as we all are.
Events just within the specific term of DCFASC because, for instance, you're allowed to fund social events, which are only open to your club, but program events have to be open. That's my understanding of how I explained it. The program events have to be open to everybody, but you can have social gatherings. And when people do their annual budget, they do ask for a certain amount of social funding.
Yeah.
And so, for instance, just having it requiring all events to be open to calendar, those things people are saying they don't want everyone to show up. But see, there are some club things which fall into the social
probably move the discussion on because we have some talking to you about our other documents, but I assume that UU is welcoming comments on this, which is, I think her address is YY235?
Yeah.
So please send that to her. I'm sure she will be making another appeal to the council representatives before. I guess we will have to vote this through in the 26th. I should also just draw your attention to, I gave you guys a copy of this letter in your packet today too. This is the letter that I wrote to the Board of Trustees that's being included in their information packet for their next meeting. As we all know and are excited about the Cornell's next Board of Trustee meeting, the next meeting is the 9th-ish of March. This is when I'll be making a presentation to the board about our activities. Have a look through that. I hope this meets with your approval. And it does, you'll note, already highlight the Graduate Community Initiative for them so that they will be well prepared to have me come and be exuberant about that at them and bring that forward. So I just wanted to give this to you for your information so you know what we've been doing with our time. So at this point, what I'd like to do is, if there's no dissent, adjourn the meeting and begin an informal procedure until about 7 o'clock in which we will discuss the Graduate Community Initiative. And I want to adjourn the meeting because I want the business, formal business procedures to be over with, and I want to allow us the opportunity, everybody who's in this room who has something to say about this document, to contribute. I'd like to hear all perspectives on what's going on in this document. It's put together again this weekend. Based on the stuff that was provided to me by the different groups and also some of the stuff that I wrote up and included from the last draft. So I'd really love the opportunity to hear any comments at all. But if there's no dissent, I would like to move to adjourn. Second, sorry, Matt. Any dissent? All right, the business meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Please.
Yeah, what do you guys think? Where's my enthusiastic crowd today?
Woo!
Great. It's looking for really well with the other one.
It was.
Thanks.
I'll second it.
Excellent.
I really like the open doors, open hearts.
You like the open doors, open hearts? Excellent. Excellent.
Are you
yeah.
submitting this to the Board of Trustees also?
Apparently, I don't know if I'm allowed to actually submit it. I think the current plan is to present it when the President comes to our meeting, but then have it available at the Board of Trustees meeting. But I'm like, oh, I'm talking about this thing, and it's really fantastic. And, oh, I managed to have 65 copies of things. Like one, and we will, you know, hand them out to you, but it's not part of their official packet.
Okay.
I think otherwise we have to get it all approved. Yes, Kevin.
At the department end with the professional schools and satellite
yeah.
campuses, like what exactly do you want, for example, from the next 4 years?
Yeah, good point. Cecilia actually wrote me a big chunk of text from the law school perspective put in here. Another paragraph that sort of is what the med school issues are as well would be great. Actually, if you guys want, I should, would you take possession of this chunk and just circulate that amongst yourselves and include Charles and include Michelle, because Michelle's the Geneva campus, Charles being business, and then you tell me what you just tell us what you want that to say, because I'm sure a lot of the issues are in common, and some stuff is different. But as long as it's that's the section that's like here's other things to keep in mind, and being able to summarize those issues as they are shared among the professional schools and unique to each school would be great. Can I ask you guys to do that in the next, like, 2 or 3 days?
Yes.
Great. Anything else you like, dislike, want to change, comments? So?
I think this document is done, so what we talked about this summer, after the vision and the legacy, is just something that really exists. It's absolutely on the mark in terms of bringing forth successfully real issues and the broad qualities of putting together to get an appetite. We have, and I really particularly in the, I think, page 7 and 8 regarding the graduate student center, I think we've done a very nice job with that, and I would also concur that we can add some other kinds of supplementary materials that either both without the kind of services offered in other graduate centers or brochures or pictures as we've note on page 8, I think there's something written in the fourth line, both more and the space and the period. Probably catch that from
my window. Yeah.
One other comment I had too, with regards to the brand new housing piece, it might be worthwhile to think about doing something, and if you have about brand new students going to 14% of the student population. But it might be interesting to say something that's current. I mean, currently, the international proportion of graduate students living on campus is about 55%, but in the apartments, it's more like 80%. And I think that suggests that you've also, again, tied together with respect to the kinds of needs that are evident with respect to international students, the kinds of those who say that choose.
Can you just state that stat again? State that statistic again to me?
It's 55% of overall, in terms of rising housing, students are international.
Okay.
But it's more closer to 78%, 78-80% in the apartment areas, high-spoken neighborhoods.
High-spoken neighborhoods, okay. That's funny because isn't Skylar supposed to be the international house?
No. Mm-hmm.
I live there. I'm not international.
Okay, any other comments about things you want to see change? Yes, Kyle.
Yeah, I agree. So, well, put together documents that everybody is kind of major kudos, but, I see soft language, I think, from last night's stuff, but I still want to see the rest requirement next to us for a number of reasons. Firstly, as you mentioned, your talk with Sunny Powers, she cringed when you mentioned it. I mean, it's not going to happen. They're not receptive to it. And further, it's just not in the interest, in my opinion, in graduate Cornell, because part of the institutional identity of the university and the graduate school, that's very centralized, that's part of the economy, that's part of the curricula. And on top of that, it's a competitive advantage not to have these kind of fighters. I know I've practice here in Carson City, calling a grant to create their own programs. And a colleague of mine basically said on the phone when she was taking the time, like, is there a language requirement? And it kind of broke a tie for her. So it's competitive advantage as well. As a corollary of that, I don't think our decisions would be behind it. As I said, there's only one way to know for sure. If I send an email out to my the graduate students saying, hey, there's another group, like, you know, we're thinking about it to read. I mean, I think I get a lot of emails saying, no, thank you. Like, you know, in fourth, you know, breadth is more kind of the purview of the undergraduate liberal arts degree. I mean, a PhD is a specialized research degree where you're becoming an expert in discipline. And absolutely, you know, branching out, taking advantage of the great university I have should definitely be encouraged, but I don't think it should be mandated in any sense. For all the reasons that what's through the breadth requirement, in my opinion.
There's the breadth requirement. Any comments specifically to that? This is something that came out of the retreat. And I'm happy to take it back if you guys feel like we shouldn't have it in there. I mean, there could be value to sparking it as a discussion and having them turn it down right away and decide to take up other stuff because they're like,
I don't think we have to know or graduate students either.
Okay.
I just got to agree pretty much with everything you said right there. I mean, yeah, I do come from a liberal arts background, and I do believe very much so in, you know, engaging with the outside community at large.
And I think the students can do that on their own.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do that, too.
Part of the problem, though, is, remember, this came out of discussion of students who are not, specifically not allowed by their advisors to do anything outside of their department.
Well,
is there a way we could open this or change the language so that it would say encouraging those kinds of activities?
Yeah, fostering a culture that, you know, allows all graduates to fall into Yeah, to pick out anything that suggests that we're going to put batteries or mandates on graduate degrees here.
Well, there's some things that I think, you know, I don't know if necessarily the requirements is necessary. I actually don't know what they're talking about.
Sorry, section
page 11.
It's like the fourth point. Considering a breadth requirement or perhaps simply some kind of recognition to graduate students that can be fulfilled in a myriad of ways.
Okay, so the one I have doesn't have this section.
It doesn't?
No. But. I don't know about requirements, but something that, you know, facilitates, that would be a program that facilitates, for example, language acquisition for graduate students in the humanities. Right now, virtually impossible. They're now within Cornell because the classes are geared towards undergraduates. So it's very hard to. They're basically, they're just eligible for the graduate students. There's something that represents that and does not make it facilitate, you know, these things. I don't know that for, I don't think there's a requirement, it's probably not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But programs that can facilitate people going out of, you know, I don't know, it's a requirement, which is an extra. And in humanities, usually it is a requirement. It's just a requirement that it is either not enforced or is practically impossible to enforce.
Okay.
Another issue is the language. I took a French class last semester, and I was in order of priority to get in the class, the bottom of the list, you know, as a grad student, and I was pushed to like three different classes as everything filled up, and finally I said, no, I'm done, and I dropped it because I couldn't be going to all these different classes. So it's definitely very difficult unless they expand their course offering.
Yeah, or think about grad students who want to take up the language as a, like, because they don't specifically need it for their research.
Right.
Okay, yeah. Oh, sorry, Kent first, sorry. I should give even students to get priority.
Okay, I'll go.
You're the dean, after all, you should get priority.
Well, I'm the dean of students, that's right. I guess I really need to put the report, there's still a professor. Given how I feel this year's CCSA in particular has forged very strong cooperative ties with the student assembly and the graduate representative student body, whether there's any way to speak to the relationship between graduate students and undergraduates. I, for one, feel like not only should we draw together the graduate professionals, integrate the graduate professionals with student experience, but I also think that at least to some extent, there ought to be more productive interactions between undergraduates and graduate students in all different ways. I don't know, you may disagree with me. You know, I mean, after all, you're graduate students, and maybe you don't think that your connection to undergraduates is all that important. But if you look at it from the undergraduate point of view, you are their future. And I'd love to think that your mentorship would be of great value to them. Since they are such a bright and lively group, they might time to time with your life as well. So I just suggest maybe there's some way to add a passage in here that alludes to the relationship that you have to undergraduates.
There is, on page 10, the last point is development of mentorship networks among and between grad students, undergraduates, and faculty. For example, increasing positions for graduate student residence advisors and undergraduate residence hall.
Right.
Establishing mentorship roles for non-graduate.
We're going to pilot that next year.
Yeah, which is, I think, a really neat idea. And supporting this kind of exchange among the community more generally. These, again, are pointing to much larger issues that could be full sections. I'm happy to include a section at the end in sort of the chronic section that says undergraduate-graduate relations, or that sounds terrible. Undergraduate-faculty relations, that all just sounds terrible. But maybe grads in the wider community or something like that. Because I think there are some cases where we are like undergraduates, and some cases in which we are like faculty and like staff, and some cases in which we're quite different, and maybe those sorts, that's a place to summarize.
What I would like to think is that graduate students could feel as much a part of this community as seamlessly as undergraduate students, right? That you guys aren't, as is so many times the case at universities, on the outside looking in. You know, I mean, my graduate experience is like that. I went to graduate school at Yale. And the graduate students really felt like they were on the outside, you know, and the kids were like swimming in the colleges where we're all the party and the action parts and where the focus of attention was academically. And we were sort of the people who supported that enterprise. And somehow I feel like graduate education is much more than that. And somehow this document goes a long way toward making clear how you have an instrumental role in making this university where you are.
I'd like to echo that from the graduate student point of view, too, and I see, you know, myself going on after this into a teaching position. It's a position where I would be teaching and working with, you know, students. And I think, you know, by having mentorship programs and graduate residence fellows, I think that is a great career opportunity, a great thing to beef up the resume, but also improve, you know, my personal life, too.
Save an undergrad.
I already have a girlfriend. She was an undergrad. She's not here.
When I introduced myself, maybe I did well, but I came from the University of Michigan. We have a really unique program there that students and physicians have around the country. And that is the summer bridge program that was optional for intern.com. And I don't know if you want to talk about that or at least put some language about reference to that. But it is a very successful program with regard to retention and the recruitment of students. Because one thing we do assume about graduate students, and that is that when you get here, you know how to hit the ground running. Whether you're from another country, another state, another city, that you know what to do when you get here. And I think that's the biggest mistake we make about graduate students, that you're adults and therefore you know all these systems that we have here at Cornell. That was a good program that helped bridge incoming doctoral students into the community. And those students who came in the summer really built a sense of community as they moved through the doctoral program. Regardless of whether you were in chemical engineering, anthropology, or biomedical sciences, it really built a sense of community across the university. Everything you have in the report, I think, is right on point with regard to the issues graduate students face around the country. That is a relatively new concept. I know a lot of our peer institutions are looking at summer bridge programs that have been successful with undergraduates in the past. In fact, I used to employ undergraduate students because I knew the campus better than my graduate students.
Yeah.
And we simply, you know, a lot of times they would introduce graduate students to ways around systems that our administrators didn't even know. So I do want to, you know, put that on the table and if that's something that this group is interested in. I hope that, and I think that actually the graduate school is looking at the program that I did at the University of Michigan, which will be some of the components from that program.
Thanks. We have about 5 minutes left before I want to let you guys go because I'm aware of time constraints. Other thoughts, comments, changes, suggestions? Yes, Julia.
Brief one. In the benefits section on page 4,
yeah.
Where it says, talking about being generous donors. I thought maybe making that a little bit stronger without going over the line too far, sort of conveying the message that when people are unhappy and have miserable experiences here, they don't want to give money because they don't think very nicely about the place. I don't know if there's some way to make that a little bit more explicit.
Okay. Think about that. Thanks. Anything else?
Also along this line, I remember reading statistics showing after alumni attend some reunion kind of events, their donation rate increased by 100%. So even if alumni, they are not graduate students, if they come to a graduate student center and see the facility, they realize graduate students in the entire part of campus, they are not likely to donate.
Do you have any stats on alumni donation that you want to send me? That's great.
This might not be Cornell specific, but it's a
it doesn't matter.
Psychology. Yeah, I can look that up.
General, send it my way. It'll all be helpful.
Okay.
Does this look like what you guys thought this was going to look like? Is this something that you all feel like this is really exciting and we're behind this?
Better than I thought it was.
Did you have something you want to say?
I did.
So how should we, I'm trying to think how we should move from here. I actually have talked to the Board of Trustees on the, I think it's the 9th. We wanted to have the document like basically done and going to print on the 8th. That's in like 2 weeks. We have a breakfast with the President in 2 days, and I'd like to be able to circulate a version of this draft to like the end of this week to a couple of our main advisors. Kent now has already seen it, but say for example Sunny Powers, Susan Murphy, most of the people that are on this, that say, yeah, Tommy Bruce, a couple of people who are real supporters at Day Hall and who have been real advisors for us, And I think they would like to have an input. So I would like to get this draft to the stage where I can present it to those people for their input by Wednesday. So anything I need to do to this, aside from I'm going to rewrite the mental health section, the professional students are going to throw together something to throw in that section. I will put in a section on graduate students in the community at large to deal with these larger issues. Anything else? Pull the point about the bread. Yeah, change that or make it more open and vibe. Okay.
You want to add pictures or a table? Or, well, I mean, I could do it.
That's the other thing I'm playing with.
Yeah,
would each group then maybe take your section of the document? Now that you've seen the whole thing, like, for example, the Career Resource Center. I'm sure now that you see where that fits in with the rest of them, if you want to expand that a little bit, explain it a little bit more, just turn it into something that looks more like the other sections, that would be great. I'm sure other sections, now that you see the whole thing together, have a better idea of how you want to change that. Can I give us, like, 2 days or so to really have that, just that section again and rewrite something and send it back to me? Can we do that? It's always the issue when you pull documents together from multiple different sources. But now that we know what this looks like, if you can have that in by Wednesday, that would be great. Okay? All right. So then we've agreed. Everyone will go over those sections and get comments to me by Wednesday morning so I can get all those together, and then we'll start distributing it, and it's going to be really exciting.
I'd like to bring everyone's attention to the student forum with President Scorton.
Yes.
On Wednesday at 4:30 in Europe.
Yeah.
And a reminder that we are also hosting President Scorton on the 12th of March.
Which is our Council of Representatives
meeting in G10 of the Biotech Center. And Kent will also be, you'll be able to talk at that meeting before President Scorton comes about.
I'll introduce, I'll walk over with him.
Oh, okay.
I have a bunch of questions. I'll probably go first.
Yeah.
You're going to say something more than.
Well, I heard that he was going to come late. Well, I heard he was coming late and you were coming early.
I'm going to walk him over from Day Hall.
Okay. Well, that's fine. We okay.
We don't want to lose something between here and there.
We do have a election, though, that we're going to be having for
a new assembly member.
New voting assembly member.
So I'm supposed to meet in at Day Hall at 6:15. We're walking over here. We'll be getting a picture by 6:30.
Yeah.
It'll
be in G10.
G10 Biotech.
G10 Biotech,
right.
So 6:30 to 7? Okay.
Or however long.
However long he needs to talk.
He can stay around.
Great. Thank you guys so much for everything. And good meeting.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.